Welcome to Reading the Grid, the podcast fueling your Formula One passion. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. Now that we've broken down and analyzed all six seasons of Drive to Survive, covering everything from the 2018 season through 2023, there's one thing that kept standing out to us. All the names and faces who popped up along the way only to disappear from the grid. It got Ina and me thinking, where are they now? So we did some digging. We pulled together a list of all those drivers, whether they were front and center for a storyline or just made a quick cameo, and we tracked down what they've been up to since leaving Formula One. Some of the names you'll definitely recognize, some you might have completely forgotten about, and some might just leave you asking, wait, who? Let's dive in and see who's thriving, who's faded into the background, and who's still making headlines in motorsport or beyond.
I want to focus on the drivers that left the grid after 2018. And there are a couple of reasons why they stand out to me. First is, I think as a group, they're most successful alumni of Formula One. Also, they're evenly broken, where two names I've never heard of and two names that we definitely heard of also were quite successful. So the least successful of those four names is Sergei Sirotkin, who drove for Williams. Now, the reason why I remember him, because he was in so few scenes in Drive to Survive, it is very easy to forget. In fact, did not remember him at all on my first watch. But on my second watch, he stood out because when Leclerc was announced as being the next Ferrari driver, nobody seemed happier than this driver. And that's what stood out to me. And that's why I wanted to know what happened. Not much. He was a reserve driver for Renault in 2019 and 2020. Also reserve driver for McLaren in 2019. And he last raced in autosports in Middle East. A more successful alumni is Marcus Ericsson, who was a part of Alfa Romeo Sauber. If you remember, he was teammate of Charles Leclerc. And yes, that is probably the reason why I remember him. He actually went into IndyCar and he won Indianapolis 500 in 2022. There are three crown jewels in motorsport, and that's Monaco Grand Prix, Indianapolis 500, and 24 Hours of Le Mans. So speaking of 24 Hours of Le Mans, we have Brandon Hartley. I do not think he was mentioned once in Drive to Survive. He went into World Endurance Championship and he definitely found his stride. He won record, which is jointly held, four World Endurance Championships. And he's a three-time winner of 24 Hours of Le Mans. And finally, we have Stoffel Van Dorn, who also competed in World Endurance Championship and actually won a championship with Mercedes. Again, Stoffel Van Dorn, I don't think they showed us even once. His name was mentioned in a few races, but that's as far as those references went.
Let's talk about Robert Kubica, who was on the grid with Williams in 2019, but his Formula One story actually starts way back in 2006. Kubica made his F1 debut with BMW Sauber, and in 2008, he made history by winning the Canadian Grand Prix, becoming the first Polish driver to win a Formula One race. But Kubica's career took a devastating turn in 2011 when a near-fatal rally crash left him with severe injuries, threatening not just his racing career, but his life. Somehow, against all odds, he fought his way back into Formula One, driving for Williams in 2019. After that, he stuck around the paddock as a reserve driver for Alfa Romeo from 2020 to 2022, even stepping in for Kimi Räikkönen a couple of times. In 2020, Kubica technically finished 20th out of 21 drivers, with Nikita Mazepin taking the infamous 21st spot. Since then, Robert has been making a name for himself in endurance racing. In 2023, he won the World Endurance Championship title in the LMP2 class with the team WRT. And in 2024, he added another huge milestone to his career, winning the Lone Star Le Mans race. That win made him only the third driver in history to win both a Formula One Grand Prix and a World Endurance Championship race, joining the ranks of Fernando Alonso and Mark Webber.
There are a lot of World Endurance Championship winners in our review of alumni, and it seems to be the two most popular series to go to after Formula One is IndyCar or World Endurance Championship. Speaking of IndyCar, Romain Grosjean, who we last saw very brilliantly in 2020, moved on to IndyCar. He actually achieved a pole position and a podium at Indianapolis Grand Prix. He actually continued to score several podiums across 2022 and 2023 with Andretti. Unfortunately, after 2024, he was not retained as a full-time IndyCar driver and became a reserve driver for Prema Racing. The other driver that we didn't see has the best quote in one of the Drive to Survive season when he said, "Netflix didn't pay attention to me." And that is so true, which is kind of unfortunate. So the driver we're talking about is Daniel Kvyat. He was replaced by Yuki Tsunoda after the 2020 season in Toro Rosso, which became AlphaTauri. He was set to compete in 2022 World Endurance Championship, but because of Russian invasion of Ukraine, he had to face sanctions. He returned to World Endurance Championship in 2023 with Pramer. He actually signed with Lamborghini in 2024, and he's going through various other motor racing series. Again, as a driver, he has an interesting story arc, but the way that he features in the personal lives of one of our current drivers is much juicier.
Our favorite deadpanning non-fan of the media, Kimi Räikkönen. He retired after the 2021 season from Alfa Romeo. He is not trying to get back into racing. However, his son Robin is showing a lot of promise in karting, so perhaps we'll see him on the sideline as the son advances.
And he has the same personality as Kimi, so cannot wait for him to keep going through the series.
Antonio Giovinazzi, also with Alfa Romeo. He remains a reserve driver for Ferrari, which is a role he's had since 2017. He did move to Formula E in 2021, but after not scoring any points, he left the series. He joined Ferrari 499P hypercar project in its inaugural 2023 season. Also in 2023, he won 24 Hours of Le Mans with two others and a Ferrari.
Antonio Giovinazzi, he has the best nickname, which is Italian Jesus.
That's pretty good. Well, as they say in Italy, they only have two religions, the Catholic Church and Ferrari. So that's pretty appropriate. Finally, for 2021, we will find out what happened to Nikita Mazepin. As we know, Haas have decided to cut ties with Yurakali and Nikita when Russia invaded Ukraine. He is still searching for a way to get back into Formula One. I honestly don't see that happening, just given the geopolitical climate and what's going on. But you never know what his daddy's money could buy at some point.
As we saw in our last episode of Regular Reviews, as Papa Stroll said, he has the wallet, so does Nikita's father. After the 2022 season, as we featured in our main episodes, Sebastian Vettel finally retired, and he's now focusing on humanitarian and environmental causes.
Sebastian Vettel, he has been back in the silly season rumor mill to wanting to get back into Formula One with Cadillac coming onto the grid in 2026. There are quite conflicting reactions to Vettel wanting to come back. Most are assuming that those days have since sailed and he should probably stay off the grid.
Well, an interesting insight that I also heard is that he was trying to get the Audi seat for 2025, which means that his interest in returning to Formula One seems genuine. I'm just curious what he's trying to get out of it, because the teams that he's interested in, or at least the teams he thinks will give him the opportunity, are not the teams that he can achieve anything that he hasn't achieved before. Be curious to see where this goes. Moving on to Mick Schumacher, whose last season with Haas was 2022. He joined World Endurance Championship in 2024 with Alpine, achieving maiden podium finish at the 6 Hours of Fuji. He's not a reserve driver for Mercedes anymore, which was his role until this year. And he still wants to compete in Formula One. And finally, we have a driver who appeared a little bit in Drive to Survive, but didn't get a ton of attention. And that's Nicholas Latifi. He actually decided to put his racing career on hold and studied for an MBA at London Business School.
I will never forget Latifi because it was his accident that caused safety car in Abu Dhabi in 2021.
So I'm
He can
sure you're happy that he's no longer on the grid.
Correct. I am still happy he is no longer on the grid. And as we are talking about 2023, we can't not talk about Nyck de Vries and where he is. And I will say it was really brutal the way that he was let go from AlphaTauri, but he moved back to Formula E for the 2023-2024 season. He signed with Toyota in Hyperclass of World Endurance Championship in 2024, winning the 6 hours of Imola.
And remember, Nyck de Vries was a Formula E champion when he joined Formula One. So it's really seems to be just one series that doesn't work for him. If you don't want to know what happens in 2024 until you watch that season of Drive to Survive, you can stop listening now. But for everyone else, the path seemed to be either becoming a reserve driver or contemplating the next move. In terms of reserve drivers, we have Zhao Guanyu, who is a reserve driver for Ferrari, Valtteri Bottas, who is a reserve driver for Mercedes and McLaren, and Franco Colapinto, a name that hasn't come up with Drive to Survive, but I would be shocked if it doesn't come in the next season, and he's the reserve driver for Alpine. The rest of the drivers that were let go, such as Kevin Magnussen, Daniel Ricciardo, Sergio Perez, are still contemplating their next moves. But there is one driver who announced he is leaving motor racing, and that is forlorn American hope, Logan Sargeant. Logie Bear just couldn't take it anymore. And I understand because he never had the sponsors that his former team, Williams, really needed. He made this decision to leave motorsport, which is probably for the best.
I was disappointed that we didn't have a stronger performance out of an American driver, especially with how much growth there's been in the American market thanks to Drive to Survive. I hope we see a strong performer coming out of here to get behind and cheer for, but it was unfortunate it wasn't Logan.
Speaking of being crash happy, he inherited the Latifi mantle. So I'm actually curious for the real 2025 Formula One season to see who inherits that moniker. And by the way, that was a little misleading because in terms of damage in 2024, Alex Albon caused Williams more damage than Logan Sargeant. The problem was Logan never had the results to justify all the crashes that he was involved in.
Did he score any points?
Nope. Why do you think he was let go in the middle of the
Yeah, it all comes
season?
down to points and performance.
Williams was way better than Red Bull. I personally think 2024 should never have been his year, but they still gave him part of 2024 to write some kind of a narrative.
They gave him more runway than I think most teams would have for sure, trying to make it work, to be fair to the team and to him. If it was anywhere else, I think he would have been cut.
I think it is because he is a Williams Academy driver. So they had to show that, hey, we have a driver in our academy and we have to give him chances. One of the reasons why Colapinto really popped is that nobody knew about him, cared about him, didn't have the results coming in that anyone was excited about. But he was a product of the Williams Academy and turned out to be quite exciting.
We hope you all enjoyed our trip down memory lane to figure out where these drivers are now. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your favorite has-been. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.